Well, we begin this morning a study of the book of 1 Peter. So turn, if you will, in your Bibles to 1 Peter chapter 1, beginning on page 1293 of your pew Bibles. 1 Peter chapter 1, we'll be looking this morning at verses 1 through 12. Hear again the word of the Lord. Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ, to those who are elect exiles of the dispersion in Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, and Bithynia, according to the foreknowledge of God the Father, in the sanctification of the Spirit, for obedience to Jesus Christ, and for sprinkling with His blood. May grace and peace be multiplied to you. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. According to His great mercy, He has caused us to be born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance that is imperishable, undefiled, and unfading, kept in heaven for you, who by God's power are being guarded through faith for a salvation ready to be revealed in the last time. In this you rejoice, though now for a little while, if necessary, you have been grieved by various trials, so that the tested genuineness of your faith, more precious than gold that perishes, though it is tested by fire, may be found to result in praise and glory and honor at the revelation of Jesus Christ. Though you have not seen Him, you love Him. Though you do not now see Him, you believe in Him and rejoice with joy that is inexpressible and filled with glory, obtaining the outcome of your faith, the salvation of your souls. Concerning this salvation, the prophets who prophesied about the grace that was to be yours searched and inquired carefully, inquiring what person or time the Spirit of Christ in them was indicating when He predicted the sufferings of Christ and subsequent glories. It was revealed to them that they were serving not themselves but you in the things that have now been announced to you through those who preach the good news to you by the Holy Spirit sent from heaven, things into which angels long to look. And may God be pleased to add His blessing to the reading of our word and guide us this day. The book of 1 Peter was written roughly 30 years after Peter first was called by Christ. And as I was looking over this book and as matters of the world were transpiring this week, I thought, how fitting. This little book of 1 Peter, a book of encouragement to God's people. A book that was written to men, women, and children who themselves felt like exiles in the world, felt like foreigners, felt as though they didn't fit in that world in which they lived. This book of encouragement speaks to you and I and has valuable instruction for us, especially in the world in which we live today. And so as he begins with this encouraging greeting. And if you look down through verses 1 and 2, we see that in this greeting, Peter is pleased to enlist the big guns, reminding us again of the work of the Trinity, laying before us not only God the Father, but the Holy Spirit and Christ in the greeting that he has included here before us, describing their duties and expanding upon them as we then will travel through the remainder of these 12 verses this morning. We'll be looking today at what it is in which we find our identity. Secondly, the way that God is pleased to refine our faith. And third, the way that he is also pleased to bolster our faith through his wonderful word. And so let's look again at this passage this morning. I mentioned that he breaks these duties into three parts, and we see that kind of nicely displayed within three portions of this passage this morning, verses 3 through 5. Blessed be God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, according to his great mercy, he has caused us to be born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance that is imperishable, undefiled, and unfading, kept in heaven for you, who are by God's power being guarded through faith for a salvation ready to be revealed in the last time. As he is addressing this to these exiles, to those who are occupying lands that are far away from the promised land of God, far away from Jerusalem and that place where God's temple has been established. As we have studied through the Psalms of Ascent, and we recall Psalm 120 and how the psalmist there likely demonstrates the same sense as these exiles, these New Testament exiles, these new converts to faith in Christ, a sense of being in the midst of a very broken world, surrounded by the godless, reminded as they pass by every block of by those signs of the pagan gods in which those around them put their trust, and how the common thought of the people doesn't represent their hope, their dreams. They feel the part of a foreigner. And yet here, Peter is reminding them that their God is at work around them. Blessed be the God of the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, according to his great mercy, he has caused us to be born again. You see, one of the great challenges, one of the great temptations that befalls the people of God when they find themselves in a godless surrounding, when they find themselves surrounded by the wicked, is to give up, is to throw up their arms and find ways that they might reduce the mockery that they face by the godless around them, by taking on the signs of and the practices of those who are around them. And here we see that one of the dangers that faces the exiles, those who are living out in the world, is that they would turn their attentions from Christ and contemplating those wonderful things which God has accomplished through Christ, and begin to instead accrue for themselves comforts and some measure of earthly peace by following after the example of the world. And yet Peter says, no. Focus your attention, focus your eyes upon Christ. Recall what it is that God has accomplished. And realize that your time of sojourning in the world is so small in comparison to that eternity secured by Christ for those whom the Lord loves. He has caused us to be born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance that is imperishable, undefiled, and unfading. Likely you have faced this as well. You've looked out at the world. Perhaps you've been tempted to covet after the things of your neighbor because it seems like that one who just merely goes about life in accord with how the world lives its life, without a care in the world and without a thought of Christ, seems to be profited at every turn, seems to enjoy every pleasure that life has to give. You say, why can't I have that? Again, this is the mechanism, the tool, the common tactic of our enemy who lies in wait, crouching to spring upon us, to cause us to question that which is of inestimable value. And so Peter here describes it, sets it apart as something far greater than the treasures that this world has to offer. And he'll do this a couple of different times throughout our passage, but the first is found in verse 4. That inheritance is here described as imperishable, undefiled, and unfading. And there is not a thing that we find physically within this world that can be described in this way. Perhaps you've yearned after that new outfit, that latest fad in fashion. You can attest that after 20 or 30 washings, no matter what OxyClean says it's capable of, it isn't that same garment. It doesn't have the same vibrance it had when it was new, does it? It begins to fade. Parents, you can attest to this. Those clothes you bought for your children 6 months after you've bought them look very little like that garment you bought initially. Usually in our household, it means there's holes in the knees as they've suffered the effects of all of that climbing around and playing in the mud and dirt and other things. You see, everything that we have in this life fails. Homeowners, it's a wonderful thing to own a home, isn't it? But have you ever gotten to the bottom of the to-do list on your home improvements? Are you ever done? No, because the ravages of time and weather beat down our homes, put holes in our roofs, cause leaks to occur where they're not supposed to, hoses to break that were intended for other purposes to carry water or sewage. And here Peter is reminding you that there is a treasure that far surpasses all that this life has to offer. And this is the thing that he wants the people of God to focus their eyes upon, their aspirations upon, their hopes upon, because it will not fade. And this is important because at the writing of the book of 1 Peter, while formal persecution has not yet been initiated, there is still a lot of localized persecution that is happening within the church. There is a lot of personal persecution that is being faced by those who have cast off their foreign gods and have called upon the name of Christ. Perhaps they've been put out of their homes and their families, or in other ways have suffered economically for their allegiances to Christ. But a more formal persecution is coming. We know that from the study of history. We know that within a few short years, more concerted efforts under the emperors of Rome will be undertaken against the Church of Jesus Christ. And so we have here within this little letter of 1 Peter a wonderful reminder to the people of God to regularly and constantly be evaluating what it is that they are focusing their attention upon and yearning after. For just as the people here in this dispersion area and what would be known of today as the area of modern Turkey didn't yet know some of the calamities that were soon to befall them, we, as the worshipers of Christ in the 21st century, don't know what tomorrow may bring. What measures of hostilities may be meted out to those who would seek in obedience to God to uphold His commands, who would prove to be unyielding to culture and to popular thought, and content themselves with the glorious Word of God to be their guide, rather than their hearts or their emotions or whatever their neighbors might insist that they would think or do. And we see in this first section God's good work on display as Peter gives thanks. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Again, this echoes the way he introduced this letter. He started with giving thanks to God for the foreknowledge, for his foreknowledge. Now, in the second portion, he goes down and he'll be dealing now with the ongoing work of the Spirit. Look at verses 6 through 9. In this you rejoice, though now for a little while, if necessary, you have been grieved by various trials, so that the tested genuineness of your faith, more precious than gold that perishes, though it is tested by fire, may be found to result in praise and glory and honor at the revelation of Jesus Christ. Though you have not seen him, you love him. Though you do not see him now, you believe in him and rejoice with joy that is inexpressible and filled with glory, obtaining the outcome of your faith, the salvation of your souls. In this second portion, he helps the exiles, he helps the brothers and sisters in Christ to better understand how it is that even in times of difficulty and trial, God is pleased through the work of His Holy Spirit to accomplish good things for us, for His people. Here we see that those difficult times are very much like a refiner's fire. And again, he puts out that comparison of the things of the world that are often yearned for here, using the example of gold. And gold itself is one of those precious commodities where fire is used to purify it, to pull out all of those impurities, yielding something that is of greater value, more pure. But here we see there is a great difference between that which the world yearns after in their coveting after gold. Because God says, you think gold is valuable, but I guarantee you that all the gold that this world has to offer will perish in the flames, will be burnt up and completely done away with. It has no lasting value. And for those who are foolish enough to put their hope and trust in the number of zeros in their checkbook, they have a rude awakening that is coming. But for brothers and sisters in Christ, for children who put their trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, though your life may be filled with difficulties, and we look out in a very uncertain world today, and I think many parents and grandparents would be of one mind in saying we fear that our children and our grandchildren will face much greater challenges and hostility than we have yet to face ourselves in our life. And there are a few different ways that we might be tempted to respond to that fear as parents. One is to withdraw, to not participate in the world any further. But to do so would be utter disobedience to what God has called us as His people to do and to be about. To remove the seasoning of Christ from the world will not yield ever an increasingly Christian world. So if that isn't the option that is most profitable for us as parents and grandparents in light of our present fears for our children, what is it? But that we would, with diligence and faithfulness and confidence in the Word of God, steep our children within His Word, that they might know, and perhaps know in a way far greater than ourselves, the faithfulness of God, the trustworthiness of Him, that even in the face of trials they may stand fast. We in this little denomination often go back and look at those early members of our denomination, those covenanters, who found themselves in a period of history under great pressure to forsake the crown rights of Christ and to put a man in that place which should only be occupied by Christ, both in the public sphere as well as in the church. And we are blessed to have that wonderful example of those who stood fast upon the promises of Christ in the face of those terrible, terrible accusations and threatenings. out of a desire to be obedient to Christ. And here we see, as he is writing to these exiles, he says, while your day-to-day life may be filled with difficulties, and while for this short season that is our life upon this earth, it may not always be easy, God is faithful, and he will see you through these things. And you may look upon these trials and difficulties as his continued work within you, the work of his Holy Spirit, as the Spirit is at work day by day, sanctifying God's people, yielding within them new capabilities day by day as they grow in their understanding and trust in God and in their walk in obedience with him. These are the things that are more precious than gold. These are the treasures that we who seek the Lord desire. Those treasures which will not pass away, but which are in a far safer place than anything guaranteed by the FDIC. For they are stored in God's storehouses, awaiting us when Christ comes again and we are ushered into his glorious presence. So it speaks to the blessing that is ours who trust in Christ as God through the difficulties of this life refines us, strengthens, purifies, and even in his eyes is pleased to make us of greater and greater value. And then lastly, we see here Christ's work as he is to be found and understood in the Word. Look at verses 10 through 12. Here we are reminded of how we are bolstered by the word. Concerning this salvation, the prophets who prophesied about the grace that was to be yours searched and inquired carefully, inquiring what person or time the Spirit of Christ in them was indicating when he predicted the sufferings of Christ and the subsequent glories. It was revealed to them that they were serving not themselves, but you, in the things that have now been announced to you through those who preached the good news to you by the Holy Spirit sent from heaven, things into which angels long to look. Here we are reminded that though we may be exiles in the world, God has not left us undirected. He has not sent us off into a far place alone, there to make for ourselves as we see fit, as every man, woman, or child thinks is right within their own eyes. But rather we see another demonstration of God's love and care for his people, that he has preserved for us his word. Here we're reminded of the work of the prophets, those who were to preserve for us the revelation of God. And Peter writes to those exiles, he says, they didn't write for themselves. Their word has far greater value than just for those of the day of Ezekiel or Jeremiah or Isaiah. The benefit of their prophecies is for you. God has preserved his word for your encouragement, for your strengthening day by day. It's one of the reasons why in our little denomination, we have equal appreciation for the Old Testament as well as the New. Because we realize in its totality, God intends it to strengthen and guide us in our day-to-day living. We need those constant reminders of God's faithfulness. Whether it was his faithfulness and encouragement and comfort offered it to our first parents after their heinous sin within the Garden of Eden, that all was not lost, that there yet remained a hope that one would come into the world who would overcome the penalty of death due to us for our sins. That seed of the woman, our Lord Jesus Christ, so that we might know each day when we fail, each day when we succumb to the temptations that are around us, and cry out to him for forgiveness, that he is faithful and true and will forgive us our sins. That when we suffer the mockery of the world, when we find that the civil magistrate knows God so little, that they would end their prayers with a man and a woman. That when those who are charged with safeguarding our countrymen would be so blind as to be desensitized to the murders of tens of millions of our countrymen. The wisdom of the world fails. And we read the news and we could so ourselves easily despair. But Christ has come. Christ has accomplished what we could not, perfectly upholding the word and commands of God, that he might be that perfect sacrifice, that upon his shoulders might rest our sins fully, that we might be justified, that our Heavenly Father looks at each one who call upon the name of Christ this day as holy, righteous in Christ. And he who has done this great thing will see you through to the very end. For those who have been fearful in this season of pandemic, again I say to you, not a day will be removed from your life as laid down in the book by God before time began. Not a day. Nor to those who put their hope in what this world has to offer, will you be able to add 1 minute to your life, leaning upon anything outside of Christ? Brothers and sisters, we don't know what tomorrow will bring. But we know what is to ultimately happen. Christ is coming. And we can cry out with one voice, "Come quickly." For that is the desire of our heart. That one whom we love, our first love, Jesus Christ, would be pleased to end the lesson soon and instead come again and welcome his people into his presence, that we might continue what we set out to do this day, worship him forevermore. Let's look to him in prayer. Almighty God, we give you thanks that though as we are surrounded by such confusion, such division, such anger, that we serve a God who is both sovereign and who has already established far greater treasures for those who love him in heaven. We thank you, Lord, for the mercy that you have shown, for your grace that you have poured out upon your people. We thank you, Lord, not only that you were pleased to give to us new life, but that you gave your Holy Spirit, who works within us day by day, sanctifying us, that we may grow in our service to you, that you may be pleased through him day by day to help us to grow in our knowledge of you, and that as we would grow to know you better, Lord, that our love for you, our reverence for you, and our praise for you would grow and grow and grow. And oh Lord, you have done these things through your Son and our Savior Jesus Christ. He bore your wrath. He bore those stripes in our stead. And Lord, we pray that as we may face various trials, that you would be pleased to help us to understand how those trials which we may undergo ultimately will yield our good and the glory of your name. Lord, that we may worship you better, having experienced those things, having been reminded of your faithfulness, your constant presence, and your indwelling within us. And, oh Lord, we pray that those around us would see the evidences of Christ's wonderful fruit within us. And so, Lord, we pray you would draw them to yourself, to the transformation of our families, our neighbors, our communities, our state, our nation, all nations of the world, to the glory of its rightful King and Lord Jesus Christ. For it's in his name that we pray these things. Amen.